For years, the Florida Eco-Illuminati have used a handful of alliterative verbs describing what's been done to our poor Caloosahatchee and its watershed: drained, dynamited, ditched, dredged, damaged. They're also fond of pointing out that it's technically not a river at all. Its federal name is C-43, and that C doesn't stand for Caloosahatchee. It stands for canal. Be all that as it may, we still love old C-43. A few years ago, my family moved to the riverfront town of Alva. Founded in the 1870s by a hard-drinking, big-hearted sea captain who may or may not have been the illegitimate son of the King of Denmark, Alva is often called the oldest settlement in Lee County, though I think the Caloosa Indians might take issue with that claim, were there any of them left to object. In any case, Alva is the oldest surviving settlement. Groves and pastures still line much of its riverfront. On hot days, cattle amble down to the banks and stand motionless, except for some lazy tail swishing, hock deep in the dark, slowly moving current. After dusk, a white neon cross glows from the steeple of the old Methodist church. Alva is Florida, all right, but it's sure not the Florida of standard development myth-making. The Sunshine State sold to most northerners is all gleaming white and crystal blue, splashed with Caribbean pastels. Out here, though, the palette is completely different, deeper, richer, sun-dappled rather than sun-soaked. If the water's in the Gulf, at its best, sparkled gin clear, the water in Alva's creeks and river gleams Armagnac gold. So when someone emailed me a question, if you had just 12 hours to spend in Lee County before you had to leave forever, what would you do? The answer was easy. I'd hightail it to the river. That 75-mile stretch of water embodies nearly everything I love about this place. Never mind that the Caloosahatchee as we know it was never meant to be. Never mind that it's tainted and trash-choked in places. Never mind all the surgeries the poor thing has endured, how it's been scraped, scoured, and root-canaled. Frida Kahlo, strapped inside a metal-ribbed plaster cast, was still Frida Kahlo, and somehow the river's naiad essence survives. So what if engineers call it a ditch? Never has there been so enchanting a ditch. Pink-bellied dolphins, swaying saffron lilies, and moon jellyfish drift underwater like balloons here. Just one day, huh? I'd start with a Punta Rasa dawn, sipping thermos coffee, swinging bare legs at the end of the boat ramp pier, as early bird anglers untrailered their craft to head out. Then I'd drive along McGregor, nodding goodbye to the familiar houses and the stately royal palms. I'd swoop over the river on the Veterans Parkway Bridge, marveling at the water below, then cross back into Fort Myers. I'd stroll through Centennial Park before heading north on the Edison Bridge, then east to State Road 78, also appropriately called River Road because it traces the river's course past ruined groves and through vast prairies of palmetto scrub. Roll down the windows at the right time of year, when galaxies of starry blossoms are open, and it's like driving through a cloud of honey. Once I remember pulling over, killing the engine, and hearing, almost feeling, the low thrum of bee legions at work. Where the land's cleared out here, cattle graze, an eclectic subtropical mix, mahogany, bison-sized Santa Gertrudis, scrawny longhorns, and dewlapped Brahma crosses. The road slices through my once busy river town that went to sleep after Fort Myers took over. I'd cross back towards State Road 80 unless the drawbridge was up to let a tall sailboat through. If it was, I'd open the windows to let sun-warmed river air wash over me, salt and fish and distant diesel tinged with pine and citrus. Then it's on to La Belle to put in at Barron Park. Have I mentioned I've got the canoe strapped to the top of the car with a cooler full of key lime sangria and a few mangoes? Once I was in the water, I'd slowly drift back downriver, meandering through old oxbows, startling log-basking turtles, ducking under swags of Spanish moss, stirring rafts of water hyacinths with my paddle. With any luck, I'd see a manatee or two, or at least hear their wet, wuffing breaths, and see the long chains of pearly bubbles as they duck back under. It would probably be late afternoon by the time I reached Hidden Island, which is tucked behind an old oxbow. I'd nudge the canoe onto the bank and step out. knee-deep in warm, oolong-tinted water. As Gambusia flittered around my ankles, I'd haul the boat up through the spatter dock and out of the water. I'm pretty sure I'd be trespassing here, but I would be emboldened by having only hours before I have to leave this county forever. This island was once the home of Mr. M. Renz, known as the Hermit of Hidden Island. His house is long gone, but a crumbling collection of his handmade buildings remains, a slumping boathouse, a rusted barge, and a hull-shaped cottage illuminated by a wall of bottles he set in cement. After I'd poked around, I'd hiked to the top of the island, where vine tangles give way to Caesar weed and Johnson grass. I'd trample a flat space, spread a blanket, and watch the sky flame, then fade. Soon, I'm sipping sangria in purple darkness. Crickets trill as stars prickle through the velvet above. Then, high in the northeast, a thin cat claw of light streaks earthward, a shooting star. And a shooting star means I get to make a wish. It's simple. Another lifetime here, please.